Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 50 minutes, roughly 50 to 55. I got somebody he's been on before. He's a great guest. He's a wealth of knowledge on the music end and on the Jewish religious end. And we're, you know, this is the holiday season. And that's the, I guess that's a cop out from the retail world that we'll start spending money in right after Thanksgiving, right up. But it's Hanukkah and Christmas. And I'm a big supporter, Josh, I think will confirm this, of the Jewish faith and the people. And I'll make a statement right now because, as you know, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, and Peter White in the city council, and or the person trying to ride their bike in the snowstorm. This world has got to just let live and let live. And I have no place in my heart for haters. So send me all the mail you want. Here's what I want. When I first read it, if it's bad, I delete it. If it's hatred, if it's a comment about me, that's different. All right. So without further ado, my good friend, Josh Cutler. Josh, thank you so much for doing this.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here as always.
And how's James?
James is doing tremendous. We're now on to, believe it or not, month four of kindergarten.
Month four of kindergarten. Oh, my goodness.
And actually, as we record this today, I actually spent some time this afternoon at his school. For the kindergartners and the pre-kindergartners, they had gingerbread house making experiences. Wow. And I don't consider myself a very hands-on artistic type of person. So this was probably the first time that I've handmade a gingerbread house.
Wow.
Probably since elementary school myself. So it was a thrill to get to be able to do that. And now that, you know, he's five, he'll be six in a couple of months.
Yeah.
Getting to have all of these holiday experiences with him and experience them as a dad, at the point now where he's pretty cognizant of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. And you don't have a lot of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah. So basically my weekends are squeezing in as much as I can get in. And some years you get to everything, some years you don't, and you just say, well, we'll get to it next year.
Yeah.
But as, you know, as he's little, as he's small, and as he kind of believes in the magic of all the holidays, yeah. I'm doing my very best to give him, you know, everything I can from the experiences that I had when I was a kid, and then other things that have come up. So it's an honor and a pleasure to be able to do that for him.
Well, I knew your mom's family. Your Uncle Frank and all I can say is they were wonderful people to learn from.
Yeah. You know, the great thing is that I'm still very close with all of my surviving aunts and uncles. You know, the Christmas holiday for me hasn't changed a whole lot from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
The reason why is that my mother grew up in the north end of Pittsfield. And so when I was a kid, I would experience that with my grandmother, at the home on Weller Avenue. Yeah. And, our family still owns the home.
Yeah.
And one of my uncles still lives in it and maintains it. So
he's a great guy. Too.
Yeah. And essentially uninterrupted, we've always had those holiday experiences in that central homestead. And so that's always made that holiday special for me.
Yeah.
But even just talking more about that neighborhood and what made that special and what made the holiday special for my mom is when I was growing up, my mom would always tell me about how special and how exciting the experience was for Christmas, particularly growing up in the community at St. Charles Church in the North End. She always told me about how performing in the choir at midnight mass, and how special that was for her when the church would light up and the place would be full, and just going through the pageantry of that. It really is.
Right.
So as she told me that for years, I had always had in the back of my mind that I wanted to sort of experience that for myself at one point when I'm old enough and when I am, aware enough to appreciate everything that goes into that. So the first time that I asked her to come with me, I was probably about 19 or 20 years old. But in the late 2000s. And the reason why I wanted to do that as well is A, to experience it, and B, to honor my grandmother, my grandmother, Grandma McKeever. Her birthday was on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And she died when I was about 8 years old. So at this point, she had been gone for 11 or 12 years. And so I wanted to find a way to honor her memory, and do something special. So,
nice.
So Mom and I went to St. Charles, got there at about 11:30,
remember you guys coming in.
Yeah. We sit there in the dark.
Yeah.
Sing along while Joe Rose is playing and the choir is singing. And then the clock strikes midnight.
Boom.
Everything lights up.
Yes.
Everything lights up. It was just, for me, it gave me goosebumps. It really did. And since then, I don't think I've missed a year of going to church on Christmas. For many years, I went to St. Charles up until around COVID. And for the last 5 years, I have been, and they didn't do midnight for a long time. So we did 4 o'clock, and that was, also a great experience. For the last 5 years, I've spent midnight mass at St. Stan's in Adams.
Wow.
Which is an incredibly beautiful church.
Oh, yes.
And they're in the middle of a renovation process right now, the SSK preservation. But boy, especially at holiday time, it's the same type of experience. Maybe not quite as dramatic with the lights coming on, but it's the same with the pageantry, the choir, the organ. When the bell strikes midnight, and I'm also singing songs in Polish too. So it's an amazing experience. But I've been doing it now.
Good.
Even though, as many people probably watching, I am a Jew. I was raised a Jew. I'm a practicing Jew. But I think in order to get the whole picture of life, you need to keep an open mind and learn about other people's cultures and traditions. And Christmas Eve, midnight mass, that has always meant a lot to me.
And as I said, I remember you guys coming in. And to me, it's a special time of the year for family, because I was away in Vietnam at Christmas. And ever since then, every Christmas is more special, because I think if you have that experience, you certainly understand the meaning of Christmas and the camaraderie, the pageantry, the community of Christmas. But I will tell you also, through my career, I have worked with some Israeli folks. And I will tell you, right around this time of the year, and on one of my assignments, it was approaching Hanukkah, and they were as excited about Hanukkah as I was about Christmas.
And I certainly am too.
Yeah.
I have so many family traditions for that holiday as well. Now, family and community traditions. It's one of those Jewish holidays that can be celebrated. They're like Passover tends to be celebrated more in the home.
Right.
Rather than at synagogue. You typically do one night, like a community Seder at the synagogue, but generally the first night is celebrated at home. For Hanukkah, you do both.
Right.
We always have, and there's 8 nights of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
8 nights of lighting the menorah. And for many children, you'll have 8 nights of gifts.
Yeah. That would be a little jealous of that, but I live with it.
I do both holidays for James, so I've got a little bit of a budget, so maybe 1 or 2 nights we'll do that, and then Christmas as well. But we have, my family has had a long tradition of having just a big dinner on one of the nights of Hanukkah. Nowadays, we traditionally do it on the weekends so that all of my family, or and we can have some friends as well too,
sure,
be part of that also. But there's a number of community traditions that we participate in as well. For my congregation, Temple Anshei Emunim, we are doing our Hanukkah service and celebration on the 6th night this year. We tend to do it on the on the closest Friday night to Shabbat. Friday Shabbat during the holiday, and that's going to be Friday night, December 19th at 5:30. This year again, it's going to be a great musical service. We have a lot of things going on for kids. We have a dinner afterwards, and we have the traditional Hanukkah foods, which are potato latkes, potato pancakes, also sufganiyot, which are essentially jelly donuts, which factors into the festival as well. But also on the first night of Hanukkah, which begins on sundown this year of Sunday, December 14th, the Jewish Federation of the Birchers, which I've also been involved with for many years as well, is doing their community celebration at the Mount and at the Nightwood event.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the last couple of years, we always do something sort of outside, trying to combine one of the great cultural amenities of the Berkshires along with something really pretty. Last year, we did it at Hancock Shaker Village
in the
barn on a Sunday evening. And we had, and I and James and I were there, we had about 500 people at that event. It was incredible.
That's terrific.
Yeah,
that's terrific.
It's probably along with Jewish Community Day that we do in June at High Lawn Farm and Lee, probably one of the highest attended events that we have throughout the year. And it's just going to be great. I have not been to Nightwood myself yet, so that's going to be I probably haven't been to the Mount maybe 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really nice to explore that, the campus, the home of Edith Wharton again. There's so much to see there. There's so many amazing pieces of art and sculptures, and the home itself is special, but lit up at night. I've seen so many pictures about how beautiful it is, and Hanukkah is the festival of lights. So what more fitting way to celebrate the first night than surrounded by light with hundreds of our community. So I'm really looking forward to this holiday coming up.
Well, I have to throw in a plug for our good friend Earl Persip, who's in charge of
that's
all
right
down there. What the grounds are spectacular. The building, excuse me, they've done so much to restore the building. It really is, for those people that have not been to Edith Wharton, get down there. I'm telling you, because it's something you really need to see. And there are people who drive hundreds of miles to visit there, and you got to drive what, 5?
and not only that, if you're looking for that type of experience I'm not saying just for Hanukkah, but just one of those light, outdoorsy type of experiences, we have so much around here to do that around this time of year. We have the Nightwood, Nam Keg, winter lights there as well. Yeah. I went to, for the first time, I went to the Pumpkin Festival.
Oh, you did?
That they do. It's somewhat similar, a little less chilly. So we went that for the first time. Again, what they do there is amazing. The parking situation is relatively easy with the shuttles that they offer, and it's a great time. But then Hancock Shaker Village this year is hosting the Festival of Trees. And that's going to be awesome too. I'm trying to squeeze that into our schedule because we've always hit the Festival of Trees when it was at the Berkshire Museum.
Me too.
And Hancock Shaker Village is also another favorite place that James and I love to visit. We always go when they have the baby animals
Oh
in the
yeah, my
spring. Always go during the summer too.
yeah.
You don't necessarily think of it as a place to go year round,
Right.
but they do have offerings 12 months of the year, and this is great that they have this as well. Now, tomorrow, as we record this, a little further away, not necessarily in the Berkshires, but within driving distance, I'm taking James to Look Park in Northampton. They also do a pretty spectacular light show that you can drive through, and it's inexpensive as well. It's only a $5 donation to drive through. And it's for little children. It's spectacular, and I've been to the bright nights that they do in
Springfield?
Springfield,
Yeah, me too.
which is great
Oh,
too.
yeah.
But if you're looking for something a little bit closer, a short drive, 45 minutes over to the Northampton Florence line where Look Park is,
An easy ride, too.
it really is. It's a lot of fun. So if you're looking for those type of experiences, if you have a young family and you want to share those things with kids, it's so much fun. But not only that, I mean, over the weekends too, I mean, there's so many opportunities to
Oh
see
yeah.
Santa Claus. And for the Jewish world, we have the PJ Library program that we're going to be spending some time with on
Oh,
Sunday,
cool.
decorating donuts at Dottie's Coffee Lounge.
Oh,
So we have, another opportunity for children to get together, whether you're affiliated with a congregation or whether you're not, but you're looking for a Jewish Hanukkah experience with like-minded
wow.
individuals or kids between the ages of 1 and 12 or so. It's
Wow,
well suited for. There's just there's so much going on.
I
Every
know.
community has their tree lighting ceremony, and it's last weekend I took James to Shire Donuts to meet Santa
Oh, wow.
and also raise some money for a young child who is undergoing cancer treatment.
Yes,
So
oh.
people often say that there's not a lot to do in the Berkshires, but I beg to differ.
Yeah.
And particularly around this holiday time, our community, the city of Pittsfield and all of our neighboring
Yeah.
communities really step up, public, private.
Yes, they do. Look at Toys for Tots. I mean,
Yeah.
every place you go in Pittsfield has a Toys for Tots thing.
Yeah, I
And
want, got to commend Chris Keegan for all the work that he's done with that
yeah.
over the years.
Yeah, and that's one of the things too is that and I'm so happy you're doing this show because I think through knowledge, through understanding, through seeing just a person talk about their faith, their community. Like I started doing this program many years ago, but I did some radio up at Southern Vermont College. But because I was tired of listening to people beat Pittsfield up, I have been all over the world. Does Pittsfield have its hiccups? Absolutely. But you know what? They're minor compared to some places. And we have wonderful public servants.
We do. We do.
And people complain about their taxes. Well, I'm gonna tell you, and I don't want to go off too far off foot here, but if I went down here right now, within 3 to 6 minutes, there'd be a firefighter here giving me whatever I needed. And so I don't have any problem. My today they picked up my trash.
Yep.
I started my career in Lanesboro. Everything was septic, well, and you paid for your own trash collection. So before we throw in a volunteer fire department, But you know, one of the things too, Josh, and that I found interesting about, and I've always found, and I've always admired you for it. This probably isn't the right word, but you float between face because you were raised that way.
Yeah, that it is right. So I am a product of an interfaith marriage. My father was Jewish. He was raised from a devout Jewish family, actually, you know, probably an Orthodox family that came to Pittsfield in 1903. You know, my grandmother, her maiden name was Cohen, but her actual given maiden name was Skoletsky. So many people will remember, you know, Eddie Skoletsky and his wife Loretta and his sister Elaine Schindler and her husband Bob. So you know, that family has always been deeply devoted to Judaism, and I certainly continue that as well. Yes. I'm a past president of my synagogue, Temple Anshei Munim. I've been very involved. I was raised that way. I was bar mitzvahed. I was confirmed. My mother grew up. Irish Catholic, grew up in St. Charles. And a number of my uncles remain parishioners of that church. So you know, when my parents got married in the 1980s, at that time, interfaith marriage was a little bit more challenging than if it were to happen in 2025. And it was hard A, to do that, and B, then to deal with the children and how to do that. So my parents came up with an agreement that I, along with my brother and my sister, would be raised Jewish, and we would go to religious school and be, you know, participate in those traditions as our faith. And my mother was on board, and that's what we did. But we also, at the same time, we're very cognizant of my mom's traditions.
Right.
And we always, respectful. Yeah, absolutely. We were always very participatory in the Christmas celebrations with my grandmother. And then when my grandmother passed, and my uncles and my aunts, my mom is one of seven siblings, and she's got a large family and a large extended family. So that was always just a thrill to be able to celebrate that with that family. And as I've gotten older, over time, I've exposed myself to more aspects of that as well. As you become older, you grow more worldwise, meet new people and want to understand their traditions as well. So that's when, you know, in my late teens, I start going to midnight mass. I start paying attention to what the importance is of what other faiths value.
Yeah.
And it's still extremely important to me, of course, as I continue to go to church on Christmas. I often do on Easter as well, because I love those traditions also. And, you know, as I raise my son, you know, now doing it, you know, the next generation, I raise my son Jewish. You know, he goes to Hebrew school. He will. You know, my hope is that he will have a bar mitzvah when he's 13 and become a leader just as I am in the Jewish faith. We have a saying in Judaism. It's called Lador Vador, from generation to generation. And it's one of the most important and vital tenets in the Jewish faith, that you continue. But, you know, where I am, I'm the fourth generation member of Temple Anshei Munim, and my son is the fifth.
Wow.
Going back to my great grandfather when the family joined the temple in the late 1950s. So yes, that's very important to me. However, understanding James's mother was not raised in the Jewish faith.
Right.
She was born Catholic and grew up, you know, in Hinsdale, and grew up in the St. Agnes Church community. Christmas was extremely important to her, and that's what, you know, I I do with James. We have a Christmas tree in our home. We
Oh,
we still go to midnight mass. We participate in the local tree lightings and stuff. So I, though some people may say, well, you're confusing him. No, we're doing it all. We're doing it all. Yeah. And I'm letting him experience everything so that he can make his own judgments and his own decisions. And
is
I think
your mom
that's
and dad did. Is your mom and dad did.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I would just say to people, do not be judgmental. I happen to know this guy really well, and his family. And I knew his not so much his dad, but I knew his mom because I grew up in the North End and went to St. Charles with his Uncle Frank. And that's that could be a tale and that could be
a show in itself. And we might have to
find some pictures of Uncle Frank. But Uncle Frank and I, but what I was going to say is, in this world today, let's not be so judgmental. I've asked Josh to come on. I think just about every Jewish holiday for the last several years. So we build knowledge and understanding, because I think some of it is people aren't, I don't know about that. Well, you know what? We're going to let you know. And after the break, we're going to go into something else that Josh has a passion for and I have a commitment to, and that's the Eagles Band, because they've got a big concert coming up, and they've asked me not to even show up. I could sit way in the back, not to sing, not to ever bring an instrument, because all I can tell you is if you go to an Eagles concert, you will be totally entertained, and the music is beautiful. Whatever the concert is, this happens to be a holiday concert, so it will be spectacular. But I've been to concerts on the Common. When you just, it's amazing. They're a wonderful group of individuals. And, oh, let me tell you, they volunteer. That's important. That is very important. In today's day and age, volunteering is kind of becoming a lost art. But thanks to people like RSVP, Retired Senior Volunteers Program, people are volunteering, and that's how a lot of not-for-profits get by, quite honestly. I have to say, too, Josh lost his wife shortly after this. How old was James?
6 weeks old.
6 weeks. And what a blow that had to be to him. She was a beautiful lady, wonderful lady. But then all of a sudden, here's a guy with a 6-week-old baby saying, what do I do now? And he is raised with his sister and his brother. I mean, he's a wonderful child. He's just a treat to be around.
I'm so grateful that he's happy, he's healthy, he's doing well. And, you know, over the last 5.5 years, you know, my siblings and my support group that I have for my many close friends have just done yeoman's work in making sure that that James continues to have a good childhood. And it was a really, really big blow. It's one that still stings to this day in many ways. But I'm very grateful that we have a great support system around us, and we keep on keeping on. That's the best you can do. And I made the promise to him the day after Jess died that I would give him everything I could to make him happy and healthy. And
you are.
And to this point, I think I've kept my promise.
You're a wonderful person. You really are. You're a great dad, super dad, I call you. We're going to take a break. Please stay tuned. We're going to talk about the Eagles Band and some other stuff, that community stuff.
We got lots of stuff coming up.
Oh, boy, I'll bet you do. So hold on. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301, and we are also broadcasting in the Southern Berkshire on 88.1 FM. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I just had a sneezing fit, and I don't know if it's over. But we... excuse me. Josh was going to tell us about big concert coming up next week.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. This one is going to be great. So for those at home, I've been a member of the Eagles band for the last 13 years. I joined the band in 2012. Eagles band is long known in Pittsfield as our community band. It was founded in 1936. We're coming up on our 90th anniversary, and we're going as strong as we ever have. At this point in our existence, we have our holiday concert coming up, our annual holiday concert. It's going to be this coming Saturday, December 13th. We're going to be playing at the First United Methodist Church. It's on Fenn Street in Pittsfield, 55 Fenn Street, right across from City Hall. The concert is at 3:00 in the afternoon. It is free. All of our performances are free. So anybody who wants to come out and hear some great holiday music, please come out and hear us. We've got a great program planned. All your holiday favorites. We're a community band, so of course we're going to end with Sleigh Ride, the Leroy Anderson classic. But we're also going to be playing a Hanukkah song as well. We've got a really amazing piece called to Russian Christmas music. It's really an orchestral piece we've been working really hard on. That's going to be great. In addition to that, we've got the bake sale that we have at intermission. We have our bonus gifts that we give out as well. That performance, the holiday performance that we have, is regularly attended by 300 to 400 people. You'll see people up in the balcony at the First United Methodist for that performance. It's always by our, you know, there's a lot of community performances around this time. Yeah. But we know that, you know, our audience is, always looks forward to this one, always dresses very festive. And
doing the spirit, as they
and we do the best we can to lift everyone's holiday spirit with some great tunes and allowing for our community to gather together, people of all walks of life. Again, that's always been the mission of the Eagles band,
right?
Is to bring people together who might not be able to afford going to Tanglewood or the Colonial Theater and have an evening of music and the quality of the performance that you have is going to be great. You know,
it's Tanglewood level. I'll say it. It's Tanglewood level. Well, you go in there and boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I mean, our conductor, David Diggs, who's been leading us for a little while now, David retired in the last 3 years as the director of bands at Lehigh University. And David and his wife were looking for somewhere to retire and saw Pittsfield in the Berkshires as the ideal place. And they came here, and shortly after, David became involved in the organization and he assumed the role of principal conductor back this spring. So he's been working with us. In addition to that, we have 73 players that are going to be on stage on Saturday. When I joined the band in 2012, we probably had about 50 for the holiday performance, which is a good number. It's a very good number.
Consider they're all volunteers.
We're all volunteers. Yeah. We are not paid to do this. We all do this because we love it. We have people in the band as young as 12, and we have people in the band as old as 90. One of the tenets of our organization is that we have an educational element as well. And we've always worked closely with our local middle and high schools so that if there are players that, you know, have a little bit higher aptitude and are looking for some more experience, that they can come play with us. And we rehearse every Monday night at the First United Methodist Church from 7 to 9. And right now we have, I think, 7 or 8 high schoolers that are playing with us right now. And just to be able to see a little bit higher level music, we probably play the music on about a college level that you would expect. It's a great experience for them. But in addition to that, in our group, we also have a number of either active or retired local music educators who like to keep their chops up and play or play a different instrument that maybe they might not normally play. We have some people involved in the organization that are retired professional musicians.
Wow.
That, you know, they retired in the Berkshires because they wanted to be close to Tanglewood or they had family here and they still wanted to play because they not because they're getting a paycheck for it, but because they love it. And you know, I joined the band.
Yeah, please. You've been in. Yeah. Please give us your pedigree.
I started playing saxophone when I was 13, and I played through middle school. I played through high school. I stopped in college. I was not a music major in college. I was a political science major, and with my academic focus a little bit different, I did not really have an outlet to be able to do that and focus on academics. I stopped that for a while. And then when I finished my schooling and came back here, I had always kind of wanted to start playing again. And the opportunity came up in 2012 when my then girlfriend at the time, who eventually became my wife, had been in the Eagles band since she was 13. She just so happened to play the same type of saxophone that I have played, the tenor saxophone. And so I joined the band in 2012. I joined the board of directors about 6 months after that. And I was on the board for 12 years of the organization and I served for treasurer for 4 of them.
Wow.
And I love it. I continue to do it, not because I'm getting any money for it, because I'm not. I do it because there's nothing more exciting for me. There's nothing that makes me feel more alive than being on stage.
Oh wow!
You know, two of my the things that I'm most passionate about are sports and music.
Yeah,
and all the troubles that I've had throughout the years, which are known, the two things that have always made me feel alive, happy, excited are playing ball and playing music. And I've always been a performer. So being on stage has always been natural. It's, you know, public speaking, it doesn't bother me. But being in front of an audience is something that If you've not experienced it with a group of friends, as I do, getting that standing ovation at the end of the show after you play your finale, boy, that really just lifts your spirits, especially at holiday time. You know, when you finish playing Sleigh Ride, you stand up, you see 400 adoring people giving you a standing ovation. Wow. I mean, that's just a rush of adrenaline. Yeah. It just is. But not only that, you know, as I mentioned before, we have 73 players on stage. A lot of the people that have been in the band with me have been in the band for parallel tenures, and many of them much longer than I. We have one of our players who's going to be playing clarinet in the show on Saturday. He's been in the band for over 60 years. He's been in the band since he was in high school.
Whoa.
And he's in mid-70s now, but it's always been an essential part of his life. You know, so many people that are in the organization just feel as close as family.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're, you know, your saxophone section, you bond with them or somebody else, but you know, they, and everything that I've been through, they've always been, you know, right by my side. And I have been, if other people have gone through, you know, challenging life circumstances, but that's how it is, because you see each other every week, you know, every Monday night for 2 hours, you know, I see the same faces and we're all doing the same thing because we love it. And
camaraderie is what you do.
Exactly.
Right.
That's just another element of, you know, why I love Pittsfield and why I love living in this community, because you have organizations like that. I have the ability to do that with the Eagles band.
Yeah.
If somebody who's a singer, they have the ability to do that with a group like the Berkshire Concert Choir or the Berkshire Hills Chorus. We're going
to
be, I'm sure.
No, they have a restraining order. but before I say this to you, for folks that are listening, and you're interested in joining the Eagles band, how do they do that?
Well, we certainly have a home on the World Wide Web. Our website is eaglescommunityband.org. So if you want to learn more about our schedule, about how to contact us, maybe about our history as well, you certainly can do that. Our Facebook page, which is updated regularly, it's if you put in the search engine, it's Eagles Band Pittsfield MA. So you can certainly, you know, find out up to the date information about what we're doing, see some snippets occasionally of some of the performances that we have. If you can't get to one of our shows, this is again one of the beauties of our community, is our partnership with Pittsfield Community Television. So many of our programs that we present throughout the year, whether it's our holiday concert, our performance at the Colonial, our spring concert that we do in May, you know, one or two of our shows in the parks, and for our smaller ensembles as well. So many of these performances are recorded by Pittsfield Community Television.
Yes. Yep.
and broadcast, you know, numerous times following the performance. So if you're not able to attend, you can still enjoy the music. And hats off to Diane Chicoine, who has been our liaison with the television station. Yep. Jeff Turner, Paul Derwin, a couple of the volunteers that you know, we can always rely on to help record these programs.
And and I will tell you, people tell me, oh, I saw the last, like people say to me, you know, oh, I saw Josh. Oh, and by the way, I was at the last concert, you know, kind of this thing. And that to me always, because, you know, I think we try, Pittsfield Community Television, Pittsfield Community Radio, we try to live up to the word community. And I know everybody who puts on a program, every person that you see that's a volunteer, they do it because they love this community, and they want to make it better. And like you guys, I mean, the Eagles band is an institution.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be celebrating our 90th anniversary next year, and we've got a lot of programs that we're preparing to celebrate that. And, you know, as I mentioned, a number of the organizations that are available for singers. Next year, we're actually going to be doing a joint performance in April with the Berkshire Lyric Chorus.
Oh, breaking news, breaking news.
Yes. Keep it on blood. I believe it's April 9th. It's going to be at the First United Methodist Church, same place where we do ours. I think it's April 19th was the last I had heard that they had settled on the date. Don't quote me on that. Okay. It'll be in the middle of April. But this is going to be a first for me as well, because I have never performed with a chorus before.
Oh, wow.
In all the years that I've been doing this. So this is going to be, you know, for many of us, a new experience. But again, two organizations that have deep roots in Pittsfield and the Berkshire community, similar sizes, similar interests. And we're going to work up a program of music together, and, man, that's going to be awesome.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
And the other similar thing is they all volunteer.
All volunteer. Volunteer. I mean, we, you know, our organization, we do have an operating budget. We do, you know, we do, raise funds through donations and grants because we have expenses. We have to pay the rent. We do compensate our conductors, our leaders, and we buy music as well. So there are certainly expenses towards running a type of organization like this. But in terms of the performers, everybody who's making the music, none of us get a dime, and we all do it because we love it.
And they do it because they love it. And I will tell you, you will sit there and you will be amazed at the quality of the production and the quality of the orchestra.
Yeah.
And really and truly. And then when they're merging with the singer. Now, I was at the Ojawa Hall.
Yeah.
Last, I think you might have been. And anyhow, I was there with the Polish Princess. And I will tell you, you could have heard a pin drop when they took a break.
Yeah, it's the level of talent in this community is amazing, whether it's people that have done it professionally before, you know, people like me who just do it for fun, you know, educators.
Right.
You have a spectrum of people of talent levels. But when you factor it all together, you know, the Berkshires is just such a rich community for arts and culture. A lot of people move here because of that. A lot of people stay here because of that. Yeah. And it's great to be able to have these outlets to express yourself, to feel welcome in a community, and to give back. So,
yeah.
I've been part of this organization, you know, essentially my entire adult life, and it's just as close as family, and I love it. I really love it.
And I think too, as I said, I started in this because I was tired of people bashing. And when I look at what we have, you know, the Boys Club, I can remember, I'm an old guy, but I can remember when that Boys Club was the standout example. We have to remember, and people sometimes forget this, we have a Olympic size hockey rink on the third floor.
Yeah.
I'm not an engineer, as we used to call them when I was in the shop. It's what the engineer said. But when you think of the engineering, and that's when GE was strong here, and the people behind it, we used to have the Catholic Youth Center. That's gone. But that's a real loss. For a lot of us, we grew up there. I play basketball there.
I did too. I not only did I grow up in the CYC with great people like Vinny Marinaro and Brian Jones and Bill Hafey, but I also grew up at the camp at Camp St. Michael out on Cascade Street. So
I worked there as a counselor.
Yeah. So I mean, so losing that was hard. However,
very hard.
We are blessed that we do have other organizations in the community that are still going strong, that have been able to absorb that loss. You know, again, as you mentioned, the Boys and Girls Club with the amenities that they have and the work that Joe McGovern has done there to keep things strong. The YMCA, James is going to be participating in basketball starting this coming weekend.
Wow.
And the same person who ran the basketball program at the CYC for me when I started in 1997 is running the program through the YMCA in 2025.
Who is it?
That would be Mr. Jim Quinto.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy. Yeah. Oh, no, sure.
Yeah.
My guy's long gone. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and we have, you know, the Gladys Allen Brigham Center, the former Girls Incorporated, yeah. You know, also has so many opportunities as well for young girls. So, you know, I can't say enough about just how wonderful yeah. It is to live in such a rich community, yeah. full of opportunity. Again, it's, you know, I try hard to dispel the myth that there's yeah. nothing to do. There's nothing going on. You know, you look at my calendar, I rarely have a night to be at home because there is so much going on that piques my interest, whether it's, you know, sports, you know, events for my son, music, you know, just general things going on the community. There's a lot to do here. And there's a lot for young families as well. And I'm glad to champion those, publicly and privately.
Yeah, I am too. And I try to support what I can, you know, don't have a lot of money, but we have a few bucks.
No, but it's not necessarily with money that requires support. It's sweat equity. It's people just showing up.
Yeah.
And you and Roseanne are at everything. There's rarely a community event that I don't see you guys at. And that's important too, because it's strength in numbers.
Well,
you know, if people show up, things continue.
Yeah. It's one thing to say, well, I support the community, but do you, like you just said, like we have First Fridays where I can't remember what they call it now. But we not always hang around it. No, but we show up. We greet people. We buy something, maybe something to eat. And you know, when I really saw another side of Pittsfield, COVID.
Yeah,
I would go into the Highland because they couldn't eat there.
Right,
but the counter would be people taking stuff out. Other venue, other restaurant, Mazzio, same thing.
Yep.
They had it down to a science. They had the guy in the back. They called you. They saw your plate. They saw the color of your car, and but the community came together.
They did, and you know that was a for so many reasons for a lot of us. It was a very challenging time. You know, for me who had a newborn. Was reeling off, you know, the loss of my wife, loss of my father. It was, you know, staying connected was essential for me.
Absolutely.
Because I couldn't necessarily, you know, sit down and have a cup of coffee with friends or go to a ball game. That continued for a long time. Where I just wasn't able to stay as close with people as I would have liked, or as a new dad, rely on, you know, people who have been through it before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Pasquale and the Arachi family at the Highland, for what they did, and Tony and Melissa for everything the Mazzios did too. So many others.
And there are so many others.
But those are those would be the two on my mind as well that I would frequent throughout that time. And I didn't have the band for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
But what we did is even though we didn't rehearse on Monday nights, we still got together on Zoom on Monday night.
Oh, cool.
We had 40 people on a, you know, every Monday night, 40, 45 of us would get together. You know, it wasn't necessarily easy to have a program planned when you had so many people that we wanted to talk at once, but at least we all got to see each other in those boxes and just know that, yeah, I'm still here. I'm still connected.
Good.
When it's time to come back, I'm all in. And everybody did come back. And honestly, you know, there's some organizations and some things that did go by the wayside. during that process. But because we made a plan to stay together, we're probably functioning stronger than we did before.
You know, I mean, saintly Irish mother has a saying, or had a saying, an ill wind blows some good fate. The ill wind obviously was COVID.
Right.
Good fate was the camaraderie with families, with relationships like you, with the band. Even if you met on Zoom, you all met. And
bonding
is what people needed.
Even going back to the talk about faith that we had in the first half of the program, we had to to keep our temple going and to keep our services going, we had to pivot, you know, in days when everything happened. And so we started doing our services on Zoom in March of 2020. We did it for close to a year and a half, but at least it gave us a mechanism to do services remotely, which we had never had for, you know, we're a community that sees people go to Florida for the winter, or parts elsewhere that are warmer, and you just wouldn't see them for 6 months, or, you know, really be connected with them. Now that gives you the opportunity to do that, and we've continued that to some extent, even though we've been in person since the summer of 21. But it has given us that opportunity to remain connected to the snowbirds that go away for 4 or 5 or 6 months, and so that they can feel a part of the community, even though that distance separates you.
Folks, Eagles Band will get it out to you on my Facebook one more time.
Just a few events that are coming up that I'll just share. The Eagles Band is coming up on Saturday, December 13th at 3:00. First United Methodist Church, free and open to the public. Hanukkah, Temple on Chamonix Hanukkah celebration. Friday night, Friday, December 19th, 5:30 p.m., Temple on Chamonix, 26 Broad Street in Pittsfield. It's going to be a great service, a great dinner. And then one other event that I'm really looking forward to for Christmas is an event called Colady. It's at St. Stan's Church in Adams. It's a fundraiser for the SSK Preservation Fund, but it's a Christmas sing-along. We do Polish songs. We do Christmas songs. Again, it's a new tradition that was restarted last year. It ultimately wound up raising $5,000 for the SSK Preservation Fund. It's free to attend. They do accept donations. You have people that are in Polish costumes that are there.
What's the date again?
It's on Sunday, December 28th at 1 p.m. at St. Stanislaus
Kostka
Church.
I'll have to write that down for the Polish princess.
I'll be sure to remind you of it, and I'll be there. So
all right, and I can remember just quickly, and we got to close. I can remember going to the Holy Family Church at 11:00, and they would be singing Polish carols. And Sunday, the 28th, did you say?
Sunday, the December 28th at 1:00. At St. Stanislaus Kostka Church in Adams. Again, one of my favorite new traditions now of the holidays. So,
cannot thank you enough for this. This has been, I hope the audience enjoyed it as much as I have. Been informational, been educational, and it's been building community spirit. Thank you so much.
Bill, thank you as always for having me on, especially during the holidays. It's always nice to share about what's going on and share about, you know, celebrating different traditions. So my best to you and to Roseanne for and your son, your grandson,
three of them
and your family for a very Merry Christmas, very happy holiday, happy New Year. And again, Bill, thank you for everything you do for our community.
Thank you. And everybody, you know, I say this and I mean it. God bless. And today, let's lift somebody up, not put somebody down. That we're all in this together, and we need each other. COVID showed us that. God bless. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Josh. My best to James, your brother and sister.
Thanks, Bill. We'll talk soon. Much appreciated.
Bye-bye. Thank you.